There is in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, a Nazarene seminary. On that seminary campus is a thing called the Center of Missionary Formation. The Center of Missionary Formation is an incredible place. It's a two-story facility in a part of town where you don't see a whole lot of two-story facilities. It's on the seminary campus, but the term seminary is a little bit of a misnomer because it doesn't really feel like a seminary, and in fact, there aren't really classes going on that would qualify it as a seminary. It's serving more right now as a campground where people come, they take retreat, they have meetings, they have spaces. But right there on the seminary campus is the Center for Missionary Formation, incredible two-story facility, incredible place where some exciting things are taking place. Here's what's happening on the campus right there. People all throughout the Mesoamerica region are receiving calls on their lives to missions, to pastoral ministry, and to church planting. Now let's pause right there for a second so you can ask the question, Dwayne, what is the Mesoamerica region? Again, thanks for asking. Here's the Mesoamerica region right here. The Mesoamerica region is represented by the entire country of Mexico, very large space, all of Central America, the islands, and then just a couple of countries in South America. That's what we in the Church of the Nazarene call the Mesoamerica region. And so right there, on behalf of the Mesoamerica region, is the Center of Missionary Formation, a beautiful structure right there on the campus. When people who have a call to ministry on their lives from the Mesoamerica region want to go into missions, or they want to go pastor a church, or they want to go plant a church, they make their way from whatever country they are currently living in to Santo Domingo, and they enter into a training process right there at the Center of Missionary Formation on the seminary campus. Now, one of the biggest problems they have and one of the biggest issues they face is acquiring visas for these people. You understand that these people, they're receiving a call of God on their lives from one of these other countries, but they got to get to Santo Domingo in order to serve the Church of the Nazarene as a church planter, as a missionary, or as a pastor. And so a lot of prayer, a lot of time, a lot of effort goes into helping these people secure whatever they need from the government in order to come and receive the training they need to fulfill God's call in their lives. So here's what this looks like. Right there on the campus, they make their way to the campus, and they enter into a three-month process of training so that they can go and do whatever it is God's calling them to do. Now, this looks like a few different things. It could be that after this 3 months of training, they are sent out simply to go and help strengthen some church presence or some local church somewhere else on this region or perhaps even somewhere else in the world. It could be that in some capacity, they receive their 3 months of training, but then they go and they serve in some general way as a missionary for the Church of the Nazarene, either on this region or somewhere else around the world. And then there's a third option. It could be that they come to Santo Domingo, they receive the training through these 3 months, and a very intense training, and then they go out to plant a church through what is called the Genesis Project. Everybody look at your neighbor right now and say, Genesis Project. One more time. Genesis Project. Okay, what is the Genesis Project? Here's the Genesis Project. It's a brand new initiative through the Mesoamerica region where they are sending out missionaries in twos, sending them out into major cities all throughout the Mesoamerica region in order to establish a church presence and plant a church. You see, there's a truth that they work from in their training that a church present does not imply a church presence. Subtle distinction there. And they don't want to confuse the two. They don't want to confuse church present for church presence. And what they want to do is they want to be able to bring a church presence for the sake of the gospel on behalf of the Nazarene church to major cities all throughout the Mesoamerica region. Here's what we know today. We know today that there's an incredible percentage of the population living in major urbanized areas, 100,000 or more, okay? We have gone as a people, as a humanity, we've gone from a space at one point in our history where only 5% of people lived in major metropolitan areas to today, over 50% of humanity lives in a metropolitan area of 100,000 people or more. And the experts tell us that this is going to continue to happen. People are going to continue to move into cities. And so there's a call on our leadership in the Mesoamerica region to be sending out church planters to major metropolitan areas all throughout the region. Now, here's the deal. There's quite a bit of church presence in the Mesoamerica region already through the Nazarene Church. But largely, that presence is felt in small towns, small villages, rural areas. So there's a renewed vision throughout the Mesoamerica region to send out missionaries and church planters to bigger, major cities all throughout the region to establish the church on behalf of the Nazarene Church and the kingdom of God right there in that place, and to administer the gospel and administer compassionate ministry. And it's happening through the CMF. I'm happy to report to you that they're able to take in 40 missionaries a year for this three-month training time. And then they send them out two by two in order to go establish the presence. So up and running at full speed, they're able to plant 20 churches throughout the Mesoamerica region each and every year. Picture that with me. 20 new churches, major metropolitan areas, every single year. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Already, they've been able to send out about 200 people in a five-year span. They've already been able to send out 200 missionaries, and there are 75 churches that are already up and running and going and doing. 200 missionaries, 75 churches that are already up and running and going and doing in major metropolitan areas where before there was no Nazarene church presence in that larger city. Now, that's something to celebrate, I believe. Is that something to celebrate? Brad says, yay. Yeah, that's something to celebrate. Well, here's the deal. That vision has not actually come to fruition yet. I would love to be able to stand up here today and tell you this incredible report. They have sent out so many missionaries. They have planted so many churches. But the truth is I was speaking as if the future has already taken place. The truth is we're on the ground level of this thing already. We have an opportunity as a church to be a part of it. Right now, on the Mesoamerica region, there are missionaries who are being called to the mission field, and they are coming to Santo Domingo, but they're not going to the facility on the seminary campus. They're going to the home of Scott and Emily Armstrong. Scott and Emily Armstrong are in charge of the Center for Missionary Formation, and they are in charge of the Genesis Project. Scott and Emily live in a house owned by the Nazarene Church right there in Santo Domingo. And they're literally bringing missionaries into their home, but right now they can only do about six at a time. They're bringing in six missionaries at a time into their home, into a back room with no air conditioning. These missionaries are going through very intense training in order to be able to do what God is calling them to do, and they're sending them out. Already, that is happening. That's happening right now. There are churches right now that are meeting and gathering for worship right this moment as we are meeting and gathering for worship, because they went through the training with the Armstrongs right there in the back of their home, and then they were deployed to some other country throughout the Mesoamerica region, and they've planted a church, and they're bringing the presence of the gospel in that major city. So there are a couple things going on. On the Mesoamerica region, they are establishing the Center for Missionary Formation as a place of training and education and growth, and then they're sending people out. Now, I said to you earlier, they're sending people out for a few different reasons. Maybe number one, to strengthen the existing church. Maybe number two, to be traditional missionaries somewhere out in the Mesoamerica region. Or number three, to maybe plant a church in a brand new city through the Genesis Project. Say that to your neighbor, Genesis Project. There's a lot less excitement that time than there was the first time. Through the Genesis Project. The Genesis Project is a brand new initiative, not the same thing as the Center for Missionary Formation. But people come to the Center of Missionary Formation to be trained and equipped to be able to go out then and plant a church through the Genesis Project in a major metropolitan area. Now, I've said this already. We know that cities are not getting smaller. Cities are getting larger. We know that there are not enough churches in major metropolitan areas to reach into the hearts and lives of people at the same rate that the cities are growing. And so God has placed deep in the heart of our leadership on this region, we got to get the gospel into the cities. We got to get compassionate ministry into the cities. We got to get our people into the cities where people are living and vying for time and attention and space. Here's what we know about cities. We know that cities offer great opportunities for people. They offer economic stability. They offer, on some level, safety. We've kind of moved out of this era, you know, back in the late 80s, you know, you don't dare to go to Miami, you don't dare to go to New York. You know, those kind of images about the cities as these crime-infested places has changed somewhat. And cities offer this element of stability and safety. These cities offer opportunities for economic growth. They offer a multicultural reality as folks are coming in from other areas. Cities are also influencing one another. It's been said that today, you know, New York and Los Angeles are looking to each other to influence one another. And it could be that Tokyo is also looking at New York and Los Angeles in order to be influenced about what life and technology and society and all that kind of stuff, how that's shaking out. So cities have a major influence in the world around us, and it's been placed deep in the heart of God and our leadership in Mesoamerica to send the church presence into major cities where we've had no presence in the past. So God's placed on the heart of the Armstrongs the establishment of the Center of Missionary Formation right there on the campus of the seminary in Santo Domingo. James, if you bring up that picture of the green space, they've already identified the space where it's going to be. There's a green space right there on the campus where this structure will be. There's some hiccups that they have to get through in order to get this thing up and running. But the truth is they're planning on breaking ground January of this year, this coming year, 2019, to get this place going so that in the days ahead, hopefully, in about a year and a half from now, they truly are equipped to receive 40 people at a time in order to give them the education and the training and the growth they need to be able to then send them out. So you say, Dwayne, what does that process look like? Here's what it looks like. 3 months out of the year, people who have a call to missions will come to the Center of Missionary Formation and receive the training they need to be able to go out and plant a church or be a missionary. And then they'll go out and they'll do that. They'll do that for a 2-year term. After that 2 years, they'll come back to the Center of Missionary Formation, and for another 3 months, they'll be able to kind of digest and reflect on what they've experienced so that they can continue to grow and learn and also feed back in to the program. By the time they're done with a 2.5-year stint, they have what is the equivalent of a bachelor's in missions. So they're actually earning their degree as they're going through this process to plant. And then after that 2.5-year process, they get to follow God's leading on either going out and planting another church or going to some other form of ministry throughout the region. And so every single year, the opportunity for 40 people who have God's call in their life to be able to come in, to be trained, and then sent out to go and plant and do the work of ministry all throughout the region. I got to tell you, I couldn't be more excited for our friends at Mesoamerica because I believe a decade from now, we're going to be celebrating exponential fruit that God is bringing to this region and throughout cities on this region through this ministry right there in Santo Domingo in the hearts and lives of the people who are part of this. Well, I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. If you have your Bible, you can open them up. If not, they're going to be right there on the screen. Just 3 verses. This is just kind of exploring the call that God has given us to go and to do and to be and to share. Mark 16:15 says this. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Centerpoint, I want to challenge you this morning with this simple challenge. When Jesus says to go, he did not mean simply sit where you are and send money. When Jesus said go, he did not mean simply sit where you are and send money. You see, the truth is, and I'm very convicted of this, we, the church in North America, have become very comfortable with simply sitting and empowering other people out of our abundance, Meaning, if you have a call to go, then you go. We'll give you a little bit of money in order to make that happen, but we'll just kind of stay here. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he was speaking to each and every one of his followers. Whether you were in first century or you were in 2018, Jesus has said to you, Centerpoint, go and preach the gospel to all creation. Are you with me? Say, uh-huh. Luke 10:2, he told the 72 as he was sending them out, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. If you were a part of our 75th celebration, you will remember that the beautiful painting in the back of our worship center was done by Carrie Brooks to represent this verse for us in a visual way. Luke 10:2, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Friends, as a reminder to us, who are the workers? We are the workers. Well, the harvest field is what? It's not a field of wheat. It's a mass sea of people represented by the population of the world around us. And we're being called to go out into his harvest field and be the workers in his harvest field. Go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel. Who? Us. What does this look like? It looks like a worker going out into a harvest field because the harvest is ripe and we're called to go and to do and to be and to proclaim that good news. And we can't do that from a place of comfort. We can't do that from a place of safety. We can't do that from a place of simply immobilizing others with our treasures. We are called to go and to do and to be. And so then when we skip up to Acts 1:8, he's got this subtle message that he gives to his disciples because he's about to leave the picture and they're trying to figure out what's next. What does this life of ministry and mission look like? And he says, here's what it looks like, Acts 1:8. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you then go, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can I tell you, church, I feel like the Lord is helping us be Jesus to our Jerusalem. You say, Dwayne, what's our Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem is East Orlando. I think the Lord is helping us in some new ways be Jesus to our Jerusalem, our East Orlando. What does that look like? It looks like what's going to happen in this room on Friday night when we have Parents Night Out. We get to be Jesus to our community right here in this room. I think we're fulfilling part of the call of Acts 1:8 when we reach out through Gift of Hope to try to bless the under-resourced. When we reach into the lives of people that are hurting, whatever that looks like, outside of the scope of giving money, but entering into life and relationship with people, I think we're making Acts 1:8 come alive. And then he goes on, not only be my witnesses in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria. And we often talk about this idea that we move a little bit farther from home, and particularly with the Samaritans, we try to be Jesus to those people who have already shut us out, that don't want anything to do with us, people with whom we would have problems with, people with whom culturally we may not fit with. God is sending us out into the lives of those people as well. I can tell you right now, we have African-American pastors in our city calling out to the white church, please help us reach the African-American community. Just a few miles from here. Our city, East Orlando, no, but our city, our time, the wall that we've been called to sit on. Well, he goes on, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. You see, when I was growing up, maybe for like many of you, we had that temptation of saying, God, I'll do anything, just don't send me to Africa. Right? I mean, that was kind of the going thing. Don't send me as a missionary to Africa. Don't send me a missionary to Africa. What'll happen if I go to Africa? I'll live in a hut, and I won't understand what's going on, and I'll be far away from the comforts of home. That's kind of the idea. I'll do anything for you, but don't make me do this. And the truth is that this heart that's sold out to God really approaches life in this way, Annette Laird. Whatever, whenever, however, no rights, no power, no control. Like, what does that mean in my life if I'm saying I'm following Jesus? Whatever, whenever, however, no rights, no power, no control. What does that mean if I'm following Jesus? Whatever, whenever, however, no rights, no power, no control. I'm going to follow whatever the Lord places on my heart to follow. And even if that means to the ends of the earth, I'll go. So what do the ends of the earth look like for us? Well, right now, the ends of the earth look like the Mesoamerica region. Back in August, your pastoral staff, along with our NMI president, Franco Lesameda, and Carolyn Novak representing our women's ministry, we were able to go to Santo Domingo for a week and walk alongside the missionaries there, the Armstrongs, and also AJ and Chelsea Fry. AJ and Chelsea are going to be with us here at Centerpoint next week. You won't want to miss this. They're going to come and they're going to continue to flesh out the heart of all that's happening. AJ largely serves as the project manager for the establishment of the Center for Missionary Formation. He is on the ground every day. Right now, they're working on a house that's on the seminary campus that is going to house all the work and witness teams that are going to be coming to help establish the Center for Missionary Formation. He's the project manager for that whole construction piece. Chelsea is his wife, and she's in charge of the teams that are coming in. She was in charge of our team as we came in, and she plays host, and she's full of knowledge and wisdom, and she's able to bring you into the conversation of what's going on culturally there. Well, our pastoral staff and Franco and Carolyn, we were able to go to Santo Domingo, and I told Scott, I said, hey, here's the deal. We're not looking for sponsorship. Centerpoint, we don't want any more sponsorship. We don't want to send money anywhere anymore that is void of relationship with where we're sending it. We want to be able to walk alongside people in relationship and get to know people and bless people and have them bless us in return. So very early in my conversations with Scott Armstrong, we didn't talk about sponsorship. He said, I want to talk to you about partnership. And I said, okay, what does partnership look like? It means we're walking life together. You're not only giving to us, we're giving to you. You're not only training us, we're training you. And I said, I want to see what that looks like on the ground. Our pastoral staff, we're going to come up, thanks to the vision of our church board, to send us on a trip like this. And we got to go to Santo Domingo and sit in that back room of their home and go through a very abbreviated but very intense time of training, very similar to what those called missionaries might go through. And we sat and we had very hard conversation about the city, about Santo Domingo, about what it means to love and serve the city, about what it means to figure out what you do cross-culturally when you enter into a new environment, how you bring a church presence into a new environment that hasn't felt a church presence before. And I got to tell you, just after 2.5 days of this stuff, our brains are so full, we just want to explode. We're like, holy moly, there's a whole lot going on. How do we even get our heads wrapped around this? And at that point, they pulled back and they gave us a little bit of a break. And they said, well, let's talk about what it means. They sent us out into Santo Domingo. Santo Domingo is a city of about 4 million people. You haven't seen traffic until you've been to Santo Domingo. There is no space between the bumpers, and there's a motorcycle zooming by about every 2 seconds. The highest rate of death in the Dominican Republic is our car accidents. It's so crazy. I-4 has nothing on it. They sent us into Santo Domingo and they said, hey, just go observe. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? Who are the people? Who do you interact with? And we went out and we did a community assessment. You know, and I'm asking the question, what does a community assessment look like for us in Orlando? How do we establish what our base is here in Orlando? How to love and serve right here so close to Orlando? And we had other opportunities to engage culturally. One of the greatest opportunities we had was to visit a local Nazarene church right there in Santo Domingo. James, if you just kind of walk through some of these with me, that's the church right there. Pretty impressive structure, is it not? Now look at it very carefully. You see the kind of orange structure right in front of you, in front of the vehicle, but the white part to the left is also part of the church building. Now, in the orange part, right through those doors, that's the worship center. You could probably fit 3 of their worship centers just on our stage alone. It's pretty cool. They gather for worship every Sunday, just like we do. They are in that room right now, worshiping the Lord this morning. Back up with me, James. Okay, right there. So you see the worship center, but see, there's something about this idea of living a life of worship outside of just the Sunday morning setting. If you look off to the white part of the building, you will see what looks like a window there with a metal frame that has come down. This church, under its leadership, has established a fresh water ministry. If you live in this community, you don't have access to clean water, but you can get a 5-gallon jug of water for 75 cents at the local water place. This church is able to provide it to their community for a quarter. So we stood there literally in amazement, watching people walk up with their 5-gallon buckets in order to get fresh water right there right there beside the worship center door. I mean, you want to put on flesh to this idea of give water to the thirsty? This church right here is doing it. This church has 18 different urban ministries that they're doing throughout this city in order to bless people, a bakery. A New Mom's Ministry. Go on and flip through those. You can flip through them fairly quickly, James. This is the pastor, her and her husband. Her husband is actually the DS of this particular Nazarene district. These are kids who literally live about 10 feet away from the front door of that church there. Kids who are literally coming up after school just to get some fresh water to drink, and the pastor is there to greet them. This is a gentleman in the back of their worship center. It's actually their clean water facility. State-of-the-art water filtration. Those are jugs of clean water that they're able to process and send to the front of the building in order to fill up the needs as people come up looking for clean water. And we just got to go and explore. This is their brand new worship center that they're building about two blocks away. And they're going to be worshiping in here in just a few days, a few months, as they are able to finish that. But got to see just something God's doing on the ground right there in the city of Santo Domingo to meet the needs of people in very real, practical ways. These are some of the streets that we were walking as we're in that particular community. But they're taking the needs of their community very seriously to ask the question, what do people in our community need, and what does it look like for us in response to the gospel to minister to these needs in very real, practical, life-giving, life-changing ways? Now, the Armstrongs took us to the Heavenly Visions Church of the Nazarene. I can't say it in Spanish. They took us to the Heavenly Visions Church of the Nazarene because they wanted us to see just one example of what this looks like for them. And they wanted us to see what they are attempting to do all throughout the Mesoamerica region and other major metropolitan areas, as the church might be able to go out and provide fresh water and provide widow care and provide divorce care and provide infant care to people in need all throughout that region. And then they are able to turn the coin back on us and say, you know what? You have a call to do this in Orlando, and how can we help you do this in Orlando? See, that's the language of partnership. It's not the language of sponsorship. And so coming out of this time, we were able to pray. We were able to be in conversation with them. And I felt the Lord impress upon me in a very major way that I believe the Lord would have us sprint alongside the Mesoamerica region for the next year and a half to do whatever we can to help them get this Center for Missionary Formation established. And here's what I believe it looks like. I believe we sprint alongside them for the next year and a half. Are we the only people sprinting? No, we're not. There's a lot of other churches throughout this country and other countries who are going to have to run alongside them. The building, the furniture, the land, everything is going to cost them about $1.2 million. They know it's a God-sized vision. They know they're having to trust Him for this and that He's going to see it happen. And so here's what I believe God's calling us to do. I believe He's calling us to sprint alongside them for the next year and a half to help us, let us help them get this Center of Missionary Formation established. And Center Point, at that point, I believe whatever future God wants to bring about, I was throwing to you earlier made up numbers, right? Numbers I just came up with in my own head. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what does it look like? I don't know what it looks like. I think it's all God's to direct, but I think we could be a part of it. What if we could sprint alongside them for the next year and a half to get this thing set up and up and going? And at that point, we've been able to invest in them, and they've been investing in us. And now people are coming and receiving the training they need, and they're able to go out and bless the Mesoamerica region by establishing church presence to minister to the hearts and lives of people. And at that point, as I've been in conversation with the Armstrongs, I've been able to ask, what happens after that? At that point, I think we are pulled back. And I think we were able to ask the Lord to lead us to particular Genesis sites. A Genesis site is a major metropolitan area somewhere throughout this region where perhaps the Lord would have us walk alongside two missionaries as they establish a church over a two-year period. And maybe that relationship lasts longer. Maybe it lasts 2 years, and then we go somewhere else for 2 years. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I know what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like us just sending money. It looks like us sending money and also going ourselves, praying for them, fasting with them, listening to them, talking to them. That's what the language of partnership looks like. I think we have a great opportunity to enter into partnership on this region, to be a blessing and to be blessed by them and their presence in our lives as well. Well, there's a few things that are going to be taking place. I said to you already, next Sunday we'll have the Fries here with us, AJ and Chelsea, great young couple going to come and continue to share the heart about this whole thing. And along the way, also next week, you're going to hear some information about our Christmas offering. The CMF, the Center for Missionary Formation, is a part of our Christmas offering for this year. We have an opportunity to start now to give financially. But also, when you came in this morning, there were cards in your seat. My guess is some of you have already looked at those. Can't keep a secret around here. We have two opportunities already identified in 2019 to go and be on the ground right there in Santo Domingo on the seminary campus to be the hands and feet of those who are establishing the Center for Missionary Formation. February 14th through the 22nd. Now, some of you, just like me, you look at it and you go, whoa, that's pretty close. Yeah, we got to hit the ground running after today, right? But I believe God's calling 20 of us from this church to go February 14th through the 22nd and to commit to being a blessing to those folks as they're doing this thing. Whatever, whenever, however, no rights, no power, no control. Let's go and love and serve and pour into them and let them pour into us. We've put a cost of $1,200 down. That's because of the fluctuating rates of the airlines. My hope is that we can come in closer to 900, but I don't want to advertise 900 and then get dirty emails later, right? So I'm advertising 1,200. I think it's going to cost us about $1,200 to go. If you'd like to be a part of February, again, we got to hit the ground running. And this is not a 20-person effort. This is an all-church effort to help us immobilize 20 folks to get them down there in February. The next date is August 29th through September 6th. Again, want to get a team of 20 to go down, to commit, and the whole church come alongside them and bless them. Now, I don't know exactly what this looks like for us. Again, long term, we're talking about Genesis projects. We're talking about Genesis cities. We're talking about coming alongside missionaries to establish outreach and relationship in other particular cities. But I believe for now, the time is to come alongside them to help establish this thing so they are equipped and they're able to mobilize the people God is sending to them so that they can get out into the region and begin to minister. Are you with me? Say, uh-huh. I have a few different images that I wanted to work with this week. I got into an Uber this week. First time I've ever been in an Uber by myself. I've always been with somebody. They did everything for them. I got into an Uber this week, and the guy driving grew up in Oviedo, just on the other side of downtown Oviedo. He was lamenting the fact of the expansive growth of Orlando. And what do I have in my head? I've got Timothy Keller loving the city. Cities are growing. Cities where the church has got to be. And he's lamenting the fact that the city is growing so rapidly and people are coming in. And in my mind, I thought, yeah, that's where we got to go. That's where we got to be. We got to be where people are. I didn't say all that to him, just thinking it. The second image was this, though. I think one of the questions we've worked with over the years at Centerpoint was this. If today Centerpoint ceased to exist, would anybody in our community know, and would anybody even care? Here's the truth. I think today, if Centerpoint Community Church ceased to exist, I think a lot of people would know, and I think a lot of people would care, and I think people who are being helped and blessed through this ministry would feel that. I do. But church, outside of giving money, if Centerpoint ceased to exist, I don't know that many people around the world would know or care. And what that is that's a roundabout way of saying, I don't know that we've done a very good job about being the hands and feet of Jesus outside of the scope of our community. And he's calling us to do that. He's calling us to go into all the world and preach his gospel. So I can't tell you what it looks like long-term future. I believe for now God's calling us to sprint alongside these guys and help them. You know what's really cool about this relationship too? They have said, we need your help. We need you to come alongside us. We need you to partner with us because we don't know how it happens otherwise without churches just like you. So what I want to ask you to do this morning is to begin to pray and think about what your response might be. We are going to have opportunities to give, but right now we have two opportunities to go. And so whether it's in this week you want to shoot an email or something like that, what I really like to do is give you the opportunity this morning to go ahead and fill out, if at a minimum, You would commit to praying for the Mesoamerica region and their missionaries. Begin to pray for the Center of Missionary Formation and the Genesis Project. And secondly, would you already feel like God would lay one of these two trips upon your heart, knowing that as a team, we're going to help one another get there?